Christ has all authority, and he has a plan for your life. Isn't that neat? Yeah, God is, you know, if you will open your life to him, his promise is found in Isaiah 42:16, that he'll put light upon your path, he'll make the crooked things straight, and he'll take you in paths that you have not known before. But then he gives us the same great promise that we find at the end of the Great Commission, and that he will never leave us nor desert us. He's always with us. And I think that is so neat. And as you struggle in class, which college students always do, I want you to remember this. It's something that you've heard before in chapel, I'm sure. Carpe diem. Seize the moment. Live for today. Do you realize that today is the only day you have? The past is gone. The future is still in God's hands. And he's capable of directing us. But for today, if we want to be blessed, we can be blessed and have victory for Jesus Christ. And in Joshua chapter 1, which is our text today, God's going to point that out. Now, it's up to you and I to make sure that we do that. You know, I love business slogans when they match the Bible. And this concept of seizing the day or living for today, you'll find in advertisement all the time. Gatorade said, the thirst quencher asks, is it in you? And then they ask the question, when? Now? Nike says, just do it. When? Right now. Not tomorrow, today, right now. American Express says, don't leave home without it. Well, we never leave home without the Bible, right? Without God, he's always there. One coffee ad says, life is short. Stay awake for it. Do you feel sleepy right now? Well, we'll see if we can wake you up a little bit. Can you say, I can do it? I know you're not used to talking chapel, but with me say, I can do it.
I can do it.
Oh, that's pitiful. Come on. I can do it.
I can do it.
Do you realize that with God, nothing is impossible? Philippians chapter 4. Verse 13 and 19 tells us that with Christ we can do anything, basically. He'll supply all of our need. That's God's promise to you. But Hebrews also says in 11:6, he that cometh to God must believe. Do you believe that God's real? Do you believe he's on the throne today? He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a reward. Now here's a key of those who diligently seek him. It takes diligence, it takes commitment, it takes dedication to live the Christian life. Right now at our church, I'm preaching through Luke chapter 6. It's one of the pivotal chapters of the Bible, I believe, because God explains who's going to be in heaven. And he tells us about the characteristics of who his Christians are, who his people are. And it's tough. God expects a lot from us. But you know what he expects is obedience. Are you living by faith today? You know, that's interesting. I have a lot of people say, well, I believe the Bible. You know, I read it. And then perhaps I'll ask them, well, are you living it? Well, yeah, I'm living it. Well, when you read the Bible, you're not living by faith unless you, as you study it, you apply it to your life. You do it. In Hebrews chapter 11, one of the things that's very clear in that great chapter of Hebrews is that they set out to do something. They obeyed God, and then they did something. Watch the verbs in that chapter. They're always active. You know, that's what a Christian should be, active for Jesus Christ, serving him on a daily basis. This is what God's telling Joshua. It's such an interesting chapter. In verse 2, he says, Moses, my servant, is dead. And so now he's saying to him something that's very, very important. And I want you to think about this. If you're going to have an outline, this would be it. He's saying, Joshua, step up, step out, and make it happen. Step up, step out, and make it happen. That's what Christian life is all about, making it happen. It's so interesting that we're salt and light. And when you really think about that, you can understand why the unsaved don't like you. Because they don't. and they want to reject you. But don't let that throw you. Follow what God's got here. Let's look at the text. That's what we're here for. In verse 5, God says to Joshua, and I hope you believe this, "No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life." Now, he's going to tell him how that's possible. But I want you to get hold of this today. You have that same promise in the New Testament. You know, from time to time, we need to connect the dots from the Old Testament to the New Testament. But Jesus Christ told us this same thing as he told us to go, and he gave us the Great Commission, and he told us that the Holy Spirit would come to reside within us. He's our teacher. He's our helper. And you go to Romans 8, it's all about him and what can happen in our life if we want it. But that's a conditional statement, isn't it? Then he goes on, "As I was with Moses, so I will be with you." That's God's promise to you. God is with you. The Holy Spirit resides within you. And so he's constantly with you. He's always watching. He's here right now. Jesus said that where two or three are gathered in his name, there he is also. Your Savior, your Master is here right now. And this is applicable to all of us, whether we're students or staff or out there working. It doesn't make any difference. It's the same challenge to all of us, the same charge. And he says, here it is, "So I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you." You'll find that at Matthew chapter 28, verse 20. Hebrews 13, 5. Passages like that. That's God's promise to you. He's always there. You can always pray to him. You can always go to him. He's the greatest friend you'll ever have. And we all need friends. I hope you have close friends. You need them. You also need accountability partners. And I'm sure that you've heard that a lot of times in chapel. But now notice what he says next. He says, "Christian," thinking of our terms, God's talking to us like just like he did Joshua. He said, "Be strong." But that wasn't enough. "Of good courage. For to this people you shall divide the land of inheritance and the land which I swore to their fathers to give to them." Do you know God says the same thing in the Great Commission? Wherever you're from, wherever you're living, wherever you happen to be, if it's today in class, if it's here, if you go out to a restaurant, doesn't make any difference. God says, "You go, and this is your land." You have a responsibility for everybody that you come in contact with. Have you talked to anybody today? It's pretty simple. I thought I had one with me. I don't. We have a lot of times. We encourage people to give out gospel coins, a little silver coin about like that. Has a question on it. Where will you spend eternity? That's a door opener. Most people don't know. In today's society and culture, it's a what for. There was a big article in USA, January the 5th, and they had done a big survey. Most people don't want to know about God. They say, "Well, what for? I've got all the money I need. I've got a great home. What do I need God for? I'm on top of my business. What do I need God for?" That's who you're going to minister to. That's who you're going to try and reach. This society is pleasure-oriented. It is. This society, as people are retiring now, we have a retirement community where I minister at. And they come prepared to retire. They have accepted the world's philosophy. And let me tell you, Christian, for Jesus Christ, you never retire. Ever. Throughout your entire lifetime, you have a job to do for Jesus Christ. I think that's so exciting. What a privilege that is. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, God needs us. Did you know that? He does. We are told that God works through us. Christians, did you get that? He works through it. Read it. Check it out. To accomplish his will and his purpose. Are you sold out to him? Do you really believe that he'll work through you? He says he will. God can't lie, can he? Yes means yes. No means no. No, God will not lie to you. It's true. God will work through you if you let him. That's exactly what he's telling Joshua. He goes on. Now in verse 7, notice what he does. It's interesting. "Only be strong and very courageous." Not just strong, very courageous. "Why, God? That you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. You know, you have a neat privilege that the Old Testament saint didn't have. You have the entire Bible. Isn't it great to be able to study it? Get it? Are you excited about the Word of God? Are you? Well, I hope so. We should be. You have a great college here. You have a great teaching staff. And you know something? If you're having problems in your life, I hope you're smart enough or wise enough to go to part of the staff and talk to them. They're there to serve you. They're there to help you. Now, I haven't known your president very long, but just a very short period of time, but I can tell that he's a man that believes that God can do anything. Look at this great campus that you had. I understand he's been here, what, 25 years, something like that? Close, okay. Yeah, serving God here for you. Did you know that? The Christians that have gone before you have served for you. That's the reason you have the liberties that you have today and enjoy the privileges to come to this college and learn about Jesus Christ and to learn what He wants you to do. I think that is so exciting. And I hope you believe that. But he goes on. He says, only be strong and very courageous in verse 7, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn. Now notice what he says. Close, please. Notice this. This is key. Do not turn from it to the right hand or the left. Why, God? That you may prosper wherever you go. Did you get that? If you want to prosper, if you want to be victorious, then you, right here's your map. This is your roadmap. Learn it. Study it. Meditate on it. Memorize it. You know, the college has it sort of easy because you realize that you can memorize. We have a lot of, shall we say, more mature saints. And they were telling me, you know, well, it's difficult at my age to memorize Scripture. That's nonsense because we can do all things through Christ which strengthen us. So a lot of them got into the Bible Institute. And what happened was very, very interesting. They found out that they could memorize Scripture. They found out that they could study. And a number of them got into a competition. This was even with husbands and wives. Who's going to have the best grade point average? When that first class graduated, there were several of them that were 4.0. They could memorize. They could study. And they're excited about it. And so can you. Why? Because God says you can. And God doesn't lie to us. He says, only be strong and very courageous that you may observe to do according to all the law. Whatever God wants you to do. Christ our Lord said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Do you love him today? Do you really, truly love him? Are you striving? Are you working diligently to serve the Master? We should be. We will be if we truly love Jesus Christ. Is he our Lord? Is he our Master today? It's a good question. It's a challenging question. He says, do not turn from it to the right hand or the left that you may prosper wherever you go. And then notice this. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. Well, we have the same thing in the New Testament. We are told that we are supposed to talk to people. Okay, let's see if you can do it. Talk to me. Yes, I can.
Yes, I can.
Oh, man. That's pitiful. Come on. Let's hear it. Yes, I can.
Yes, I can.
Yeah, put some meaning into it. You are supposed to be excited about Jesus Christ, about God, and you can do it. You can. I'm sure the president could give all kinds of stories about people that have graduated and gone on with, yes, I can. We have an awesome God, and I hope you believe that. He's real, and it's your responsibility to prove it through your life. You know, one of the hardest things that Christians have to do is that they are supposed to love each other. It's a new command, Christ said. It's in the Old Testament too, but in the sense that he gave it, it is new. He told us, he said, Christians love each other. And I think this is one of the most evangelistic statements in the Bible. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples. And Christians have difficulty loving each other. Do me a favor. Turn around and look at somebody behind you. Go ahead. Anybody, I don't care. Now, let me ask you a question. Would you like to spend... I have to be careful with this because we might be talking about male and female. So that would qualify things. But think about it this way. Would you like to spend the next 10 years with that person? How about the next 50 years with that person? You're as bad as my church. Once I get you started, you're lost. How about eternity? Because that's what's going to happen. Christians are going to be together for all of eternity. So God, in His command to you and I, simply says, love each other. Boy, if we can accomplish that, you know what it'll do for churches? It'll take away the problems in the church. Take away division, gossip, strife, all of those things. You can't do that and love somebody else. Isn't that interesting? So simple. He gives it to us in one statement. He says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. You know what meditation is? I'm sure you do. It's just running something over and over and over. Old Doc Ketchum used to have a good illustration for that. He said, just think of a cow out in the pasture, and all she's doing is just chewing her cud over and over and over and over and over. That's what we're supposed to do with the Bible. Meditate. When you're in class, do you leave that class determined? Well, first you go in determined to learn something. I love to see students that are brave enough to sit on the front row. If you really want to learn something in class, sit in front. Don't let anybody in between you and the prof. You want to be able to pick up on every word, make the notes that you need. You can be a good student. Maybe it's just a C student. Maybe it's a B student. Doesn't make any difference. As long as you're doing due diligence and you're doing the best you can, that's what God wants. And that's what you need to be. Don't be ashamed of it. The question is, are you applying yourself? Are you learning? That's your responsibility. This is what God is telling Joshua. You have some responsibilities. And He's saying, if you will comply with them, I'll give you victory. I think that is so neat. This is a great chapter. It's one of my favorite books of the Bible. So He wants us to meditate in. You notice it's day and night. Why? So that we will observe to do it. In other words, when we meditate on God's Word, we know what He wants us to do, and then consequently we can live by faith. You know, you've heard it, Habakkuk from Romans, that the just shall live by faith. The just are those who have been justified, those who know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And I hope that's all of you. But there might be some here that don't. And if you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, do you know that in 1 John 5, you can know if you're going to heaven or not? That little book gives you all kinds of tests that you can look at yourself. Not somebody else now. Don't judge somebody else. Judge your own life. Is this really, as you read the Bible, is this me? Am I really a disciple of Jesus Christ? That's a good question to ask yourself. He says, don't turn from it to the right or the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. Then He says, this book of the law, notice, shall not, don't miss that, shall not depart from your mouth. But you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written. Now notice the next statement. For then, not before, but for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. So it's not before, it's after you do it God's way that you have success. You know, He's given us the formula for victory. He wants us to seize the moment for Him, to live the day for Him. Is that true of you? Are you living for Jesus Christ today? becomes the question. He says, have I not commanded you? Be strong. You know, it takes some doing to be strong for God. It's easier to hide. You know, a lot of Christians, when they get challenged, they turtle. They withdraw because they're afraid. You have nothing to fear from anyone or anything if God is on your side. Paul deals with that in Romans 8. I ought to read that chapter sometimes and then apply the principle to yourself. What do I fear? I can remember the first time my pastor sent me out. I was a brand new young deacon. And he sent me out on visitation all by myself. I had the address. So I put on a brave face and I said, man, all right, I don't want to go, but I'll go. I jumped in my car and I drove up to the address, and it was after dark. And guess what? The lights were on in the house. I did not know what was behind that door. I didn't want to find out what was behind that door. So guess what I did? I drove around the block and around the block and around the block, hoping that the lights would go out. They didn't. So eventually I had to go up and knock on the door and talk to the people behind that door. You know what I found out? It wasn't anywhere near as bad as I thought it was. And when God is on your side, He'll give you confidence and He'll give you peace and He'll give you strength. And there's absolutely nothing that you can't do if He's in it. And I hope you believe that, because it's real. This is what He's telling Joshua. Man, I would hate to have thought that I was going to have to take that group of people, Israel, into the promised land. If you knew their history, man, they were tough, let me tell you. And then He gave a test. We don't have time to really go into it, but if you go on over to chapter 3, what you'll find is that God has said the priests were going to go down. Now, the Jordan River is at flood stage. Now, picture this. What if it was at the Mississippi or the Kentucky or one of the great rivers in our country? And He said, I want you to go down and you're going to cross over the other side. Think about the priests who are leading that. It's still in flood stage. And it stayed there until their soles or their feet touched the water. And then the water divided. Now I picture in my own mind, you know, as if I was an Israelite, what I would think about that. Now we know that the waters receded all the way up to Adam, but there had to be a wall of water moving. And now these 2 or 3 million people, whatever it happened to be, are going to cross. There's enough dry land for that to happen. And then God said, go. And they went. And then I was a military man for 22 years. Then He gave the strangest command I have ever heard for a military conquest. March around the city, 7 days. And He had the procedures in place. And finally, when they shouted, the walls just fell down. Would you do it? Question is, would I do it? Where's our faith at? Sometimes we have to question ourselves and say, am I willing to really believe God that He'll direct my life? That He'll take me in paths that I have. You know, it's scary when God says He'll take us in paths that we have not known before. But that's exactly what He'll do with you. He has a plan for your life. I don't know what it is. You probably have an idea, maybe. I hope you do. I hope you know what your spiritual gift is and have at least some concept of what you think God might want you to do in the future, but you may not. But you have a staff here at the college. Talk to them. Go to them. Seek the counsel that you need. They're there. They are, you know what they are? They're your servants. That's what a Christian leader is, a servant, just like the master. They would love to have students come. When I went through Baptist Bible College and seminary, man, you better believe I made friends with my professors. And I talked to them because I needed direction. I needed counsel in my life. And they were willing to give it. These guys here and ladies here will do the same thing for you. But they will never know unless you talk to them. So in any event, he goes on, he gives us some more instruction. He says, have I not commanded you, this is in verse 9, be strong and of good courage, do not be afraid. The thing that stops Christians today is fear. But when God enters into life, I'll give you this little illustration. We had a gentleman in our church that a year ago, he wouldn't talk to anybody about Christ. He was scared to death. And then he opened his heart up to God. And he said, I'll do anything you want me to do. He did not like to talk to people. He would not talk to people. You wouldn't believe the change in 1 year. We have a men's breakfast every Wednesday at 7:30 in a local restaurant. And there's 10 to 15 men there every week. They're faithful. And Tony gets up, and before he leaves that restaurant, he has talked to everybody in that restaurant, inviting them to church. And it's no small feat to do that. They have a lot of people there. And he is so excited about Jesus Christ. In our church, he will become an evangelist. We have a little different system. We have a year-long training program for deacons, and we have a program training people who will probably be on staff eventually. And I'm sure that he'll fit into our outreach in a way that he has never fit in before. God changed him. Why? One reason. He believed the Bible, and he believed that God's still on the throne. And he trusts him. He's living by faith, guys. You can too. So as we finish, God says to you, to me, to all of us, do not be afraid nor dismayed. Why, God? For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. You could want no greater promise, no greater friend, no greater companion than God himself, which you have if you're saved. You have the Holy Spirit, who is God. Acts 5, read it sometime. And he lives within you. He's your teacher. He's your guide. You know, don't you just love Ephesians 5:18, where God gives us that interesting contrast? The contrast is he uses wine as the idea. He's saying, what's going to control your life, wine or the Holy Spirit? Well, it better be the Holy Spirit. And for you and I to have success, that's who has got to be in control of our life. You can test your own life with the fruit of the Spirit. Is it there? One more time. Yes, I can.
Yes, I can.
That's better, but you can do better. Yes, I can.
Yes, I can.
And we can, because the Lord's on our side.